प्रभाति सदसच्चतये परम्यत् सत्वं रजस्तम इति त्रिवृदेकमादे सूत्रं महान् हमिति प्रवदन्ति जीवन् क्रियार्थफलरूपतयोरुशक्ति ब्रह्मैव भाति सदसच्चतयोपरम्यत् फलरूपतयोरुशक्ति ब्रह्मैव भाति सदसच्चतयोपरम्यत् सत्वं रजस्तम इति त्रिवेदकमादौ सूत्रं सत्वं रजस्तम इति त्रिवेदकमादो सूत्रं महानहमिति प्रवदन्ति जीवं ज्ञान क्रियार्थ फलरूपतयोरुशक्ति ब्रह्मैव भाति सदसच्चतयोपरम्यत् सत्वं रजस्तमिति विवेकमादौ सूत्रं महानहमिति प्रवदन्ति जीवम् क्रियार्थफलरूपतयोरुशक्ति सत्वं गुडनेस राजः पैशन रजः रजः पैशन तमः एंड इग्नोरेंस इति डज नेम त्रिवृत् थ्रीफोल्ड एकम वन आदौ इन द बिगिनिंग बिफोर क्रिएशन सूत्रम द पावर टू एक्ट महान द पावर ऑफ कॉन्शियसनेस अहम एंड द फॉल्स ईगो इति दस प्रवदंती इज कॉल्ड जीवन फॉल्स ईगो विच कवर्स द लिविंग एंटिटी Jnana, the demigods as the embodiment of knowledge. Kriya, the senses. Artha, sense objects. Phala, and fruit of results, such as happiness and distress. Rupataya, assuming the forms. Uru Shakti, possessing great varieties of energy. Brahma Eva, the Supreme alone. Bhati, is manifest. Sat Asatcha, as both gross objects and their subtle causes. Tayoha, both. Param, beyond. Yat, which is. translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Original One, the Absolute, Brahman, comes to be known as threefold, manifesting itself as the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. Brahman further expands its potency, and thus the power to act and the power of consciousness becomes manifest, along with the false ego, which covers the identity of the conditioned living being. Thus, by expansion of the multipotencies of the Absolute, the demigods as the embodiment of knowledge become manifest. Along with the material senses, their objects, and the results of material activity, namely happiness and distress. In this way, the manifestation of the material world takes place as a subtle cause and as the material effect visible in the appearance of gross material objects. Brahman, which is the source of all subtle and gross manifestations, is simultaneously transcendental to them, being absolute. So we read the purport, the third part. Srila Jiva Goswami has given an elaborate explanation proving that the entire cosmic situation is the natural potency of the absolute truth. Sometimes, superstitious people without knowledge of the personality of Godhead say that material activities are controlled by an independent devil and that God is struggling with such a devil. Such gross ignorance of the omnipotent status of the personality of Godhead can be removed by understanding the purport of this verse. Just as a spark is a tiny emanation from a blazing fire, everything that exists is but an insignificant spark of the potency of the personality of Godhead. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita, Athava bahu bhumetena kim nyatena tavarjana vistabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam sena stito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The omnipotent personality of Godhead is actually the well-wishing friend of every living entity, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. Therefore, if one becomes sane and understands that one's well-wishing friend Krishna is the ultimate source and controller of everything that exists, one attains immediate peace, Nyatva Mam Shanti Vichyate. Fear and illusion arise when one foolishly thinks that even one atom of the creation is not the controlled potency of the personality of Godhead. Bhayam dvitiya bhiniveshata syat. Denying the existence of the material world also creates a very dangerous situation of illusion. Both types of atheism, namely, seeing the material world as belonging to oneself and therefore meant for one's sense gratification, and declaring the non-existence of the material world, are futile attempts to avoid one's eternal subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the actual owner and enjoyer of everything. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted the following question stated by Sri Maitreya to Sri Parashara in the Vishnu Puran 1.3.1. Nirgunasya prameyasya shuddhasyapi amalatmanah katham sargadi kartritvam brahmano bhu padamyate. How are we to understand that Brahman, the Supreme Soul, is the executor of the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material world, even though it is devoid of qualities, immeasurable, unembodied and free from any fault? In reply, Sri Parashar stated, Shaktaya sarva bhava nam achintya jnana gochara yato to brahmanastastu sargadya bhavasyaktaya bhavanti tapatam shreshta pavakasya yatoshnata. Mere logic cannot explain how even material objects expand their potency. These things can be understood by mature observation. The Absolute Truth expands His potency in the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the material world, just as fire expands its potency of heat. Vishnu Puran 1.3.2. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that one can understand the power of a valuable gem not by logical statements but by observing the effect of the gem. Similarly, one can understand the potency of a mantra by observing its power to achieve a particular effect. Such potency doesn't depend on so-called logic. There is no logical necessity for a seeds growing into a tree and giving fruits that nourish the human body. One may argue that the genetic code for the entire tree is contained within the seed, but there is no logical necessity for the existence of the seed, nor for the seeds expanding itself into a gigantic tree. Ex post facto, or after the manifestation of the wonderful material nature, the foolish material scientist traces out the expansion of a seed's potency in an apparently logical sequence of events. But there is nothing within the realm of so-called pure logic that dictates that a seed should expand into a tree. Rather, such expansion should be understood to be the potency of the tree. Similarly, the potency of a jewel is its mystic power, and various mantras also contain innate potencies. Ultimately, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, has the potency to transfer one to the spiritual world of bliss and knowledge. In the same way, the Absolute Truth has the natural quality of expanding itself into innumerable varieties of material and spiritual worlds. We may logically describe this expansion after the fact, but we cannot deny the expansion of the Absolute Truth. The conditioned soul who purifies his consciousness through the process of devotional service can scientifically observe the expansion of the Absolute Truth as described here. Just as one who is not blind can observe the expansion of a seed into a huge tree, one can understand the potency of a seed not by speculation but rather by practical observation. Similarly, one must purify his vision so that he can practically observe the expansion of the Absolute Truth. Such observation can take place either by the ears or by the eyes. Vedic knowledge is Shabda Brahma, or transcendental potency in the form of sound vibration. Therefore, one can observe the functions of the Absolute Truth through submissive hearing of transcendental sound, Shastra Chakshus. When one's consciousness becomes fully purified, one can perceive the Absolute Truth with all of one's spiritualized senses.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatanine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So first I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, also those who are hearing, and all the seniors who are here to bless me. So this is a verse which speaks about how the absolute truth, Brahman, expands into the three modes of material nature. Then it expands into the power to act, into the power of consciousness. False ego, the demigods, the senses, then the sense objects, and finally the results of any material activity, which is happiness and distress. So the question that is being asked here in this verse, and Jiva Goswami is explaining, is how do we logically understand that from Brahman all of this came about? What we just discussed, you know, the three modes, power to act, senses, sense objects, everything has ultimately expanded from Brahman. So how do we logically understand this? So Srila Jiva Goswami in this purport, he gives a very elaborate explanation about how this, you know, he is proving with various, you know, examples how the entire cosmic manifestation is the natural, you know, potency, and the entire cosmic situation is the natural potency of the Absolute Personality of Godhead. So it's a fairly elaborate purport as you've observed. So in the purport, various points are mentioned, so I will just try to quickly cover some of them in the time that we have. So one of the points that is mentioned is that people in this world, you know what is mentioned in the purport, superstitious people. It is mentioned that such superstitious people, they consider that there is some devil in this world who is very, very powerful, and that God is struggling to somehow, you know, keep up with this devil and, you know, cover up all his activities and still maintain his kingdom nicely. So what is mentioned in the purport is that only those who have no understanding, practically zero understanding of the absolute and unlimited potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only such people can, you know, make a statement like this, who feel that, you know, in some way God is helpless and unable to cope with the situation. Earlier this week, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, in, you know, in the in his class, he was mentioning how the firefly, and I found that very nice. Of course, we have heard about firefly many times, but he said the firefly, it only in the night it gives off its light. And when it gives off its light, it lights up the area around it. Now we have heard this, but Maharaj also mentioned another point. He said that for the firefly, its vision is very limited. It cannot see the whole forest. It can only see the portion which it has lit up with its light. And therefore the firefly, for the firefly, that is the universe. Its entire existence is that lit up portion which is lit up by its light. And therefore it thinks I am lighting up the entire universe. Because this is the universe and I am lighting it up. So I am lighting up the entire universe. So people who are very poor fund of knowledge, who are very less understanding of who is God, who they are, how insignificant we are. We think we are significant because of our false ego. We think that we are something great. We think that we have some great potency, great power to change the world, to change the way the world will function. Yes, every person has the power to do something positive for the Supreme Lord, to do something positive for all living entities. But to think that I am the doer, then I will bring about positive change in this world, I will make things happen, is in one sense it is foolishness, because if I understand that very, very little that is happening in this world is under the control of the conditioned living entities. And, like the firefly, we should not think that, you know, this universe, whatever I can see, I am the controller of this. We'll understand everything is under control of the Supreme Lord. Even the so-called devils in this world, we see there are people who show all characteristics of the devil, you know, as it is described. But even these people are controlled by material nature. Supreme Lord also doesn't need to intervene. This material nature, the three gunas are enough to control everyone. We think that we are doing everything, but we are controlled by material nature. Then in the Purport mentioned that the spark and the fire, the spark cannot think that I am controlling the fire. It's foolishness. Because the spark is coming from the fire. In another part of the Purport is mentioned that the spark cannot give light to the fire. It's not possible. How can the spark give light to the fire? Because it is a fire that is giving heat and light to the spark. So, for people who think that we know too much and this, what the world is in my control, I know what's happening and I am controlling it. It is foolishness. Your Prabhupada says this is the Dr. Frog mentality. Where even the frog thinks that this well, this is all there is, this is a huge well, massive well, and I am the controller of this well, and then a neighboring frog comes from a neighboring place and tells him about the sea. He is asking him, so, acha, the sea is bigger than this, you say it's bigger than this well? You know, when someone tells you that there's someone greater than you, yesterday Prabhupada was mentioning, nobody likes to hear, you know, someone is better than you. It's impossible to accept that something much bigger than your experience exists. You feel that what I know is all there is to the world. And maybe there are a few other things, but you know, what I know is the main thing. So when someone comes and tells you that, oh, your world is very insignificant, I mean, there's something much beyond this. So, oh, it's this big? No, it's much bigger, you don't understand. Oh, it's this big, and Dr. Frog starts expanding, it blows in and it becomes bigger and bigger to show it's this big. Oh, it's bigger than this, it's this big, and finally he just explodes. Because the capacity of his intelligence and his body to even accommodate the size of just the ocean, which is an insignificant drop in the entire material creation, it's not even a drop. Impossible for the brain to understand. So, therefore, for us to even understand, you know, that, like we started at the beginning of the thing, logically understanding how the Brahman creates everything, everything emanates from there, is very difficult to understand. But Shri Jiva Goswami is quoting this conversation between Parashar Muni and Maitreya Muni in the Vishnu Purana. So there, it is said that even mere logic cannot even explain fully how material objects expand their potency. So we are trying to understand how the Supreme Personality of God, the Absolute Truth, Brahman, you know, how it is expanding into so many things. When we cannot even understand fully how material objects expand their potency, then where we will understand about Brahman? That's the primary point that Jiva Goswami is making. He says these things can be understood by mature observation. Not just observation. You just see something, sometimes it's very difficult to understand. But just observing with our limited senses and our limited intelligence, if you observe something, you can get misled. You can get confused. Hurry, how is this happening? But the mature observation, what do you mean mature observation? Mature observation means observation with some intelligence, with some thinking about why is this happening, correlating with what I have heard, and then trying to understand, oh, maybe it is like this. But if you are still not able to understand, then maturity is to understand that I don't understand. Me, this is thoda mera capacity ke bahar hai. This is beyond me. So let me maybe consult with someone who understands better than I do, and then I'll understand. That is mature observation. Otherwise, if you just observe, we may come to some conclusion which may be incorrect. Right? So, he gives many analogies, many examples to explain. Like he speaks about the gem. You know, he says we can understand the effect of a gem not by logic. There is no logical explanation to understand the effect of a gem. We have to understand by observation. And it's just seeing its effect, we have to understand. So, a gem means what? Now let's take, you know, it's difficult for us to understand. Let's see if you take an example, like a diamond. You know, a diamond is a diamond. Especially for Brahmachari, you're not very enamored. Kya diamond kya cheez hai? It's not a big deal. But, you know, and suppose you bring a diamond which is, I don't know the year, but suppose you bring a diamond which is 100 carats in front of, you know, somebody, and you show it to them. Now, if they are not very expert, at the most they may see, oh, looks like a diamond, they may not understand. But you bring it in front of a jewelry, you bring it in front of a jeweler, what is the effect on him? When he sees 100 carat, oh, it's a very precious stone. Are you selling it? He will immediately ask. You bring it in front of a lady who is fond of jewelry, what is the effect of that gem? Very different effect. Cannot explain by logic. You know, the husband will, she will say, can you please buy this diamond? Can you buy this diamond ring for me? Can you buy this diamond necklace for me? No, the husband will not understand. He cannot understand the effect that the diamond is having on that lady. But the lady understands the effect. So, logic cannot explain that. The husband will say, what is the logic? Why do you want? But, bas, she wants it. Right? So, like that you have to understand that it's just having its effect and you have to accept it. Then he gives another beautiful example. He speaks about how there is no logical necessity for a seed, a humble seed, to expand into a tree. What logic can you give for this? Such a tiny seed, which is maybe 2 millimeters in size, right? That seed ultimately expands into a massive, you know, tree. You know, an apple seed is this much, it's so tiny. That apple seed, it expands into a massive tree which gives hundreds and thousands of apples. I've been fortunate to go to Nagpur and see an orange tree. You know, a tree which gives oranges. Most of us have eaten oranges. We have not seen, not everyone would have seen orange trees. Somehow I was fortunate, you know, to go to one devotee's house and see over there. So that orange tree, you know, we were going there, so on the way we were kind of thinking. He had told us, he had a farm of orange trees, and he had told us that harvesting sab ho gaya hai, but we have kept 2 trees. Two trees rakhe hain humne, because we knew that you are coming, so we have kept 2 trees. So hum log man soch rahe the, we are thinking in our minds, you know, ki only 2 trees, itne hum log 25-30 devotees, 2 trees mein kya hoga, kya maja aayega usme. When we went there, we were so overwhelmed because that 2 trees held, I don't know if I can say thousands, but definitely hundreds, at least some, each of us, you know, plucked as many oranges as we could. Many of us sat down and ate oranges that jindagi mein jitna oranges nahi khaya rahega, ek shot mein, we were eating oranges, sat down, wahan pe chadar bichha ke we were eating oranges. And then after that was over, sab log ne dabbe mein pack karke, you know, we took dabbas, we had kept cartons ready. Do teen carton bharke we brought oranges home. And still there were oranges in that tree. There were many oranges still left, which we couldn't reach, so we couldn't remove. Can you believe that? This is all coming from what? One small orange seed. What kind of unbelievable unimaginable engineering is built into that one small seed. That seed contains the information. So, you know, recently I was seeing a video, I was preparing for another lecture. I was seeing a video which says, biology is no longer biology. It's not a physical science anymore. It is becoming information technology science, IT. Why? Because they're realizing that the DNA that is contained, you know, in a seed, in our body, the DNA contains so much information, so we'll come to that, that it is an IT field now, biology. It is not purely a, you know, physical science. It is a IT field. So he says over here that one may argue that the genetic code for the entire tree is contained in the seed. Of course, one may question, how is it contained? Kahan se aaya? Kisne dala? A simple orange seed, which comes in a mouth, we just spit it out. It's so insignificant for us. We just take it in our mouth and just spit it out. But you imagine that simple seed is more intelligent than all of us put together. It has the potency to put up a fantastic great orange tree which provides thousands of oranges in its lifetime, tens of thousands of oranges in its lifetime, and plus also has the intelligence to insert more seeds in the orange so that more trees can come up. It's inconceivable engineering. You cannot imagine what kind of intelligence has gone into this. So all this, if a seed can produce a seed, why the Brahman cannot? You know, so more examples. So this is about expansion, how the seed can expand. But there are other examples also, like a disease, a rare disease. You know, I remember 1984, the first time that I heard about AIDS. You know, was when a very famous Hollywood star died of AIDS. So it came in newspaper that so-and-so hero has died of AIDS. We didn't know what was AIDS. The first time we read about AIDS, it was a very rare disease at that time. Today, what is it? It is an epidemic. All over the world. So, a disease, a rare disease, can expand into an epidemic. A baby, which is in the womb of the mother, this again I was reading, we read that lecture. A baby which is in the womb of the mother, it produces 15,000 cells per minute. Every minute that baby is producing 15,000 cells. And each of those cells is so complicated. You cannot even imagine how complicated those cells are. Like, it's like producing a space shuttle. One cell is like producing a space shuttle. You know how complicated a space shuttle is. So, 15,000 space shuttles are being produced by the factory of the baby. And each of the cells are not even identical. Some are skin cells, some are hair cells, some are liver cells, some are heart cells. Each of the cells is also different. So it's like a painter painting something, you know, and somewhere he uses blue color, somewhere he uses red color, somewhere he uses orange color, somewhere he uses brown color. Each of these cells know that I have to become so and so. So the intelligence is already built into that cell, in the DNA of one cell. That, hello, you have to become a liver cell. You will go into this location and you will become a liver cell. The information is already packed inside that cell. What unbelievable, inconceivable intelligence this is. We don't need to look beyond the human body to understand the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't need to. So, this is about expansion. Then, he expands his potency but even compresses it. Like we spoke about the DNA, the entire DNA in the human body, you know, while it's the source of all life, as the scientists say, you know, now scientists are accepting, because of the discovery of DNA, it has become impossible for anyone to accept that there is no God. Just because of DNA. So, you have to give, you know, again Nobel Prize to the discoverer of DNA. Because the DNA is it is like the signature of the person. And it is like the, you know, it's very unique. Each person's DNA is unique. Now the DNA, whole DNA contained in your body, in the human body, if you just take it out of the body, it is only 2 tablespoons. That's it. all the DNA of all the cells in our body is only 2 tablespoons. So the DNA shows both the points, the expansion and the compression. If we stretch out the DNA, you know the DNA is it's a molecule. If we stretch it out, it says that the DNA contained in the human body can stretch all the way from Earth to the Moon and back 550 times. That much is contained in 2 tablespoons of matter. This is the compression and the expansion in one place. Imagine what has gone into just the DNA. And the amount of information that DNA 1% contains, how much information is already stored inside, is more than the number of words spoken by everybody since time immemorial. This is DNA. So you understand that this kind of potency that we are speaking about, there is no logic to it. But just accept that the Lord is capable of doing anything. If a humble human being's DNA has got so much, what to speak of the Supreme Lord? We can see even subtle things. You know, how can we logically explain that simply by controlling one's life airs? You know, like the yogis who are controlling the life airs through, you know, niyama, pranayama and so on and so forth. They are controlling the life airs just by doing something as subtle as controlling the life airs. What are they able to do? They are able to control material nature to some extent, limited extent, but they are able to. They are able to become small, they are able to become big, they are able to levitate, they are able to go from one place to another, they are able to obtain things out of thin air. Material potency coming out of subtle potencies. So out of just yogic practice, one is able to obtain siddhis which give material, you know, abilities. Same way, so we can think about this. If a subtle thing can affect material things like this, then why cannot the Brahman, the absolute truth, expand? Then another example he gives is about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. What is the potency of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What is the potency of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra? So he says again, we can understand by observing its power. There is no logical explanation that how simply by vibrating these syllables, Hare Krishna and Rama, you know, just 6 syllables, of course, spread out. But these syllables, by vibrating this, how can we understand, what is the logical explanation that vibrating this mantra enables the conditioned, very badly conditioned, for millions of lifetimes conditioned, addicted to sense gratification, addicted to all kinds of anarthas, that living entity is able to break free of the shackles of material nature and attain love for God and go back to the spiritual world? How do we explain? There is no logic for it. You understand that this is the potency of this Supreme Lord. Krishna has incarnated in the holy name. He is non-different from the holy name. And because he has expanded himself, he has, let's say, compressed himself into the holy name also, therefore the holy name is non-different from him, and therefore it has the same potency as the Supreme Lord. It can expand into anything. It can expand into purified consciousness. It can expand into the desire of devotees to serve the Lord. It can expand into the ability of devotees to resist temptations. It can expand into the ability of devotees to perform miraculous feats for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. The holy name can expand into anything. So, no logical explanation. So in the same way, we can see that the absolute truth has this natural quality of expanding itself into innumerable varieties of material and spiritual worlds. It is not difficult. It is not a very difficult extrapolation. It's not that logically. We can see there are so, Jiva Goswami has given so many examples for us to be able to understand this point, that how inconceivable is the potency of the Supreme Lord. We see Shishi Radha Gopinath, out of their sweet will, their own supreme sweet will, what have they done? You know, recently we celebrated Brahmotsav. And you know, I don't know, but of course, many devotees who have been there since the beginning, they know that at one point of time, this massive hall was not there. Nor was Bhaktivedanta hall there. Nor was the kitchen, the congregation room, the Havamahal, none of that was there. It was all part of different classes and different commercial institutions. But all we had was a small portion, which was the altar, which was here, this side. It's gone back now, it's little in front. That's all that was there. But what has Shishi Radha Gopinath done? By their inconceivable sweet will, they started expanding. They expanded and expanded into a huge, magnificent temple. This hall expanded. Then they expanded sideways. Then they expanded backwards. Then they expanded in the bottom. They have expanded upwards also. Upar bhi hai, you know. Then they have expanded in that direction. So when all the areas for this compound of Shishi Radha Gopinath was not enough to expand, they started expanding in other ways. The congregation initially was some 30 sincere devotees. Now probably we have 5,000 initiated devotees who have come from this congregation, maybe more. We have so many satellite centers all across India. Satellite centers, so many in Maharashtra, but so many satellite centers, so many devotees who have gone to different places. So one devotee goes to Nasik, and one devotee expands into a congregation of now 1,000 plus devotees in a beautiful temple. One devotee goes to Aurangabad and expands into a fantastic congregation. One goes to Belgaum, one goes to Kolhapur, one goes to Urpi, one goes to so many places. It is unbelievable. One person goes and expands. And it's all happening by the inconceivable will of the Supreme Lord. Then they expanded into a hospital. And a hospital started. Now that hospital has expanded into 9 branches. Madhavantabhu mentioned day before yesterday. He mentioned how now there are 9 branches of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. It is expanded into a farm community. So Shishi Radha Gopinath's mercy, midday meal scheme, I remember was started maybe around 14-15 years back, when it was just an idea maybe we can do this. And I think first people who, of course, Radhakrishna people took it up. First people who sponsored was Arvind Bhai Mafatlal, was father of His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu, was the first sponsors. So we were doing this, very good, shuru karo. And who knew that when they started at one point, this midday meal scheme is going to be feeding some 12-13 lakh children every day. Every day 12-13 lakh children are being fed through this scheme across India now. It's just not just Bombay. It started in Bombay and moved to interior Maharashtra, and now it is all over India. Who would have thought? But this is the potency of the Lord to expand. So, like this, Jiva Goswami very beautifully explains to us through various examples how we should never doubt the potency of the Absolute Truth. That, how is this possible? Because our logic cannot explain the inconceivable, unlimited potency of the Supreme Lord. See, in the purport it is concluded by saying that rather than trying to understand logically, simply by observation, see the scientists what they do, the scientists, they see the seed growing into the tree, and then the whole cycle, how the tree produces fruit and produces seed, and then again, they are able to logically explain the whole cycle, that this is how it happens, but they can't explain the logic of how the seed grows into a tree. What is the logic behind? Why should the seed become a tree? No logic mein. They can just explain the process, but why it happens, you can't. So what is explained the purport here is that it says that rather than trying to understand by logic, by mature observation, through Shastra Chakshu, one should see the material world. One should see the phenomenal things that are happening in the material world. We should see through Shastra Chakshu. And one who has purified his senses through devotional service, he can observe this as plainly, as it is described, as plainly as a person who is not blind can observe a seed expanding into a tree. Person who is not blind can easily see. You just need to spend some time to observe how the seed first became a small, you know, sapling. The sapling became a little bit plant. Then the plant started thickening. The stem started thickening. Then it started expanding. Then it started growing in height. Then more branches came. Branches became more branches, and slowly it became a tree. Over a period of years, it became a tree. So a blind person can't see it, but one who is not blind can easily see the whole thing. It's not difficult, right? In the same way, one who takes full shelter of the process of devotional service, the process of chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. With faith and with determination, we take shelter of the process of devotional service, then it is not difficult. In fact, it is pretty natural for one to easily connect everything. You see the beauty of this material nature, you can connect it to Krishna. You see the ability of a great person, you can connect it to Krishna. You see anything wonderful, you can connect it to Krishna. So that is the main message of this beautiful verse. So I would like to thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments, anybody? जय श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. श्रील गुरुदेव की जय. नित्याय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल.